Hello today. Welcome to the Greatest Year in Music History, the only podcast about the greatest year in music history. I'm John.
And I'm Jen. And if you're new here, the year is 1997, and we're here to prove it's the greatest year in music history, one album at a time. So today we're talking about My Own Prison by Creed.
You excited?
I guess.
That's kind of what I thought too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think this starts the beginning of what I'm considering like controversial episodes or albums, because I think we can all admit, even me, that My Own Prison by Creed is not revolutionary. It's not OK Computer. It's not...
This is true.
The Color and the Shape. It's just...
I wouldn't say that's controversial opinion, but yeah, I know what you mean, though.
You know, it wasn't, like I said, revolutionary, so... But it came out in 1997, and I remember it, and I love it, actually, so...
And it was a massive hit.
Yeah.
Or hits.
Right.
Whether you love it or not.
Exactly. So here we are. You can send all of your lawsuits to greatestmusicpod@gmail.com.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Okay.
Back then. And you know what? Why don't we start with Does It Still Rule? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say no. Here's the thing.
Okay. Wow.
I'm not a Creed guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think I really was.
Yeah.
It's I remember it, you know, listening to it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really remember many of the music videos.
No. Yeah.
Only ones from later on that were more memed, or I guess pre-meme. They were just mocked, if
right.
you will. You know, it's very C101 energy, which
if
maybe
you know,
two,
you know.
Two people. Yeah. If you know, you know, it's very bar rock kind of,
right.
I don't know. There's this thing.
I know. As I was listening back, and I didn't do my homework on this particular sentence I'm about to say, but I'm thinking Creed walked so that Breaking Benjamin, Trapped.
Oh, 100%.
Insert dad rock band, bar yeah. rock band could run.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
so I wanted to, anyway, I forgot to do my homework to see when those bands formed
mm-hmm.
and how many albums they had out or not.
Right. Cause this was their debut album.
Yeah.
And they put out a lot more in quick succession before, I mean, basically disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were served Alter Bridge. And then they've had this meteoric resurgence
recently
of elder millennials being like, yeah, this band rules. And like, they were in town
me
a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
We didn't go.
No.
But yeah, that's interesting. So you had this thought then about what did this pave the way for?
Mm-hmm.
I was actually thinking of it in the opposite of like, oh, was this the, not the death of, but was this part of the death nail of grunge?
Yeah, no.
Because when you really start to listen to some of the stuff he's trying to do on vocals, or not trying, sorry. Some of the stuff he's doing on vocals on mm-hmm. this record, speaking only about this record.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guitar parts and everything. You're hearing the Alice in Chains influence, the Soundgarden influence, who had, they were probably two of the more technical when it comes to guitar parts and stuff like that. I hear it. And,
yep.
But also, therein, it's funny because, you know, you look at footage and you see crushed velvet shirts and shiny pants and you're like, oh, that's ridiculous. But you're like, Well, Scott Weiland was doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was like, this is amazing.
That's true.
Billy Corgan was wearing shiny...
Velvety. Well, it is called fashion.
Yeah, it is. It's true.
But you're right. I didn't even think of that.
Like, is this what did it? Because it's like, there's this grunge aspect and some of the riffs and everything, like I was saying. But then you look at some of the music videos and you're like, oh, this looks like what Blink-182 is parodying in all the small things, parodying boy bands.
Yeah.
But they're rocking. You know, they're not just, it's not a boy band, of course.
Yeah.
But some of the videos, I mean, they're on white sand. Just like Backstreet Boys, Boys to Men.
At the same time.
Right around the same time, the mid to late 90s. Yeah, exactly.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. I mean, I had the same exact thought about hearing the Alice in Chains influence and I also hear a little bit of Candlebox.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
But then I was reading that Scott Stapp's influences were Def Leppard.
And okay.
I don't know if I hear any of that.
He was wearing velvet and shiny pants.
See? Yeah.
That's very glam. It's very 80s hair metal.
Wow. Good. Yeah, it said he was influenced by Def Leppard and U2 and also Elvis Presley.
Sure.
Wow.
Bono also wore some shiny stuff back in the day.
Yeah. What did Seinfeld call it? The puffy shirt?
The puffy shirt, of course. Yeah. He didn't want to look like a pirate.
It wasn't puffy in the music video for, I think it was Torn. No. Mm. Yeah, Torn.
So no. One of them.
Anyway, we'll talk about
music. I think it was What's This Life For?
That's right.
Actually.
Okay, What's This Life For?
That was the one where they're on the White Sand Desert.
Okay, yeah.
And I was, when I was looking up some information about it, that was in Joshua Tree.
No way.
Mm-hmm. I think this just color corrected or something. They're not filming in the same place as the Boys to Men video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's made to look that way.
Right. It's close, I think, geographically.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get to more about the music videos in a little bit. But I guess we should go back to the start. Where did you first hear them?
Yeah. It had to have been C101 on the radio, you know?
Yeah.
That was really, I would imagine, everyone's first foray into the band. What about you?
Yeah, I was trying to remember and I can't. I think I'm similar to you. It must have been the radio, either KRAD or C101.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember ever seeing those music videos.
Never mind. No.
No.
This is the first time for me, sure.
Yep. So I can't remember. It must have just been the radio.
They just always existed.
Yeah.
In your heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were massive, despite not having the music videos that you and I remember anyway.
Right.
Which is kind of rare for the late 90s or mid and late 90s, because everything was so heavily focused on MTV and music videos.
Yep.
And they just were big just for being big, you know?
Yeah. So I think going back to what you were saying about this was the nail for the end of grunge, even though they're not revolutionary in their own right or their own way, I wonder if it was like, okay, I've had it with grunge as a society, we're over it, let's move on. And then if you didn't lean into nu metal, but you also didn't lean into alternative, like Weezer and I don't know who else, No Doubt, they were all alternative.
Yeah.
So if you weren't in those two camps, then I think Creed was the next best, you know, fallback.
Yeah, it was kind of the de facto rock and roll.
Yep, exactly.
You can kind of, I mean, I would think wouldn't really compare them musically, but also in that same boat were probably like Foo Fighters. It's rock.
Yeah.
The straightforward, unabashed, you know, Scott Stapp, he has his arms wide open.
Yep.
And the wind and the shirts.
Yep.
And everything.
Yeah. I know. I want to say I kind of liked it for that reason. It felt a little bit different.
Right.
But not so far-fetched. Like, I mean, Foo Fighters were better.
Of course.
But it just felt a little bit fresh at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because they were maybe in a sense putting their own spin on the grunge rock. It's hard to say metal, although some of those guitar riffs are very metal, like 80s metal inspired, which I really resonated with me listening to it this time around. Like some of those riffs are really, really cool.
Yeah. And I thought, okay, I can hear the Alice in Chains influence and I can hear the Candlebox influence personally. But the difference in my mind between Alice in Chains / Candlebox and Creed is that the lyrics, you can hear the struggle and you can hear the emotion in both bands or genres, sure. I guess, grunge versus rock. But with Creed, there's this like hope. There's this, because he was Christian, and so he sings a lot about that. So even though he's singing about, like,
he does a few swears.
Yeah, that too.
Which is interesting, but okay.
That too. So even though he's, you can hear the struggle and you can hear the emotion, and the lyrics also show that, there's this spin on it that wasn't in Alice in Chains lyrics. Alice in Chains lyrics were just, I'm addicted to heroin, sure. Help me. Yeah. I'm depressed, help me. Mm-hmm. Whereas Creed lyrics are, I was depressed and then I found God. Now I can kind of see the light. And so there's that difference.
I wonder if they're one of the bigger, at least in the 90s, sort of, you know, you don't necessarily say Christian rock, if you will, but are they the most mainstream of that subgenre? Because you're talking about, like, not just big with, oh, they got big with one song and they happened to be leaning towards religion and then they kind of went away. I mean, you're talking about at least three consecutive massive albums,
right?
World tours, et cetera, et cetera, you know?
Yeah.
Not just really a flash in the pan.
Yep. Yeah, could be. I bet they saw huge success.
Yeah.
And
they're back.
The late 90s.
They're back. No. And what is his workout regimen?
I don't know. It looks like he's barely aged and that all he did was cut his hair.
Yeah. Well, and cut weight.
I don't know.
He didn't have much weight to cut.
Let me call him. Hold on.
But he's svelte.
Hey, Scott. I'm just
up there on these reunion, you know, they're playing Good Morning America now or whatever and playing amphitheaters in town. But
I know.
So, hey, that's always nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is also nice to see because I was reading his wiki. I don't know if you read it, but
I dabbled.
Wow. He's gone through some. It wasn't just like I had a hard childhood. No. In the mid-2000s, first of all, got in a fight with 311 at a bar. Cops were called. 311 blamed Scott.
Like sometimes when you're a ripped singer and you encounter another ripped singer like Nick Hexum.
Right.
Who you got to get into
a little brawl.
A brawl. Yeah.
What else? Just listen, if you're listening, go read his wiki because he had some run-ins with the cops and also went through some really, really, really hard times. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's always, it's one thing like if you do or don't like a band or a personality of a band or anything like that. But man, it's nice to see if and when they do come back that they're able to, at least on the surface, be okay.
Right.
You know?
I know. Yeah. I mean,
when they go through something or many things, plural, that he went through to come out the other side, I should say. That's probably a better way to put it.
Yeah. There you go.
That's always very nice to see, regardless if you like, don't like, or if you know or don't know. I mean, there's tons of bands now that are, you hear they're rekindling the band and motivations or whatever, who cares? Everyone wants to get paid, but, and I'm like, I've never heard of them, but that's really nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a little Creed lyric.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Full circle. So favorite song, favorite lyric, favorite guitar part?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think I noticed a trend where they have some of the songs that are not working for me. And then the bridge kicks in.
Oh.
So it's usually, you know, there's an intro, verse, chorus.
Right.
Then there's a bridge. Sometimes there's a guitar solo, sometimes not. Chorus, chorus, outro.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bridge in Torn, it's like, it's this metal kind of really cool sounding riff. And this other song called Unforgiven, I don't even remember it from back in the day. I'm not sure I had the CD back in the day.
Oh, okay.
But that one maybe stood out as my favorite if I had to choose, just because it was like the most up-tempo throughout the majority of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, yeah, it has some killer guitar riffs.
Wow.
What about you?
Favorite songs are, I have four. Well, five. I love Torn.
Okay.
My Own Prison. What's This Life For? One. And then, yeah, Unforgiven.
Okay. Did you read up on One?
No, but I can.
It says 101, the only way is one.
Yeah.
Is that like a proper noun, one? Like, what is the way? What is the only way?
Well,
are you glad I asked? This is how tight of a ship we run here, guys.
No. Well, I didn't read up on it, but I'm assuming he's talking about God.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Which is the way, the truth, the light, like God, Jesus. He's talking about
the only way
Christianity.
Is,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. The only way to like escape his troubles is God or his faith, you know.
Understood.
That's what I assume, my interpretation.
Okay.
Yeah. So, did you pick up on Unforgiven and One?
The Metallica references?
Yes.
Sure, of course.
I was like, wait a minute. Where have I heard both of these song titles?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I wonder. But anyway.
Or the Natalie Imbruglia reference?
Which one?
The song's called Torn. Oh, that's all I got. I don't really have much there.
Oh, man. I missed that. Was that 97?
We'll workshop that bit before this goes live.
Okay. But I love all four of those songs, sometimes five, so much.
So much.
So much.
Okay.
I mean, what is this life for?
I couldn't tell you.
The hard questions. I'm still wondering.
He's been asking the hard questions. Since 1997.
I'm telling you. And then I'm re-listening to it. For me, it still rules, but...
Okay.
I'm also... You can just hear... I think the reason I liked them... I liked this CD album is it's full of, like, emotion. He's crying out for, like... not help, that would be Alice in Chains, but he's, you can hear it. You can feel it.
Yeah.
It's not just surface level trapped song.
Yeah, it's not, you know, I'll sometimes refer to, I don't know, someone like Katy Perry, where like this was written just to be in a Pepsi commercial.
Right.
It was written by a group of people and then handed to, you know, her to perform it in the studio. So that it can be played inside Target.
Exactly.
When you're like, do I buy, which M&Ms do I buy? And do I also buy the Reese's?
And the Pepsi.
Well, and the that's where I got it from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of my favorite thing about music. No matter what year it is, it's when you can feel the emotion behind the lyrics. It just, you could, any genre, any year, I'm going to love it. Yeah. And so I can, when I'm re-listening to it, I'm just like, yes, sing it, Scott.
Did you yell? Is that why you yelled out preach the other day?
Did I?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, well, maybe, probably. Is it a no skip album?
No. No, there's a few. No, I mean, at least for me anyway, there's a few.
Yeah.
That they either didn't really do anything for me this time or wasn't catchy enough or whatever. There are a couple that I just, I mean, I'm listening to it. Definitely gave it a shot very objectively or as objective as possible. But it was like, if I never heard this song again, I'd be all right.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. I'd have to say the same. I think I can skip In America, yeah. Illusion, Sister.
Yeah.
And probably Ode.
Yeah.
But those four, man, just.
So to you, still bangers.
Yep.
Okay.
Very much rule. In fact, I think a lot of people know Creed for other hits like Higher and
With Arms Wide Open.
With Arms Wide Open, which, okay, yeah, they're all right. But Torn, Mile Prison, What's This Life For, and One, top four for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you are someone who thinks there's a certain stigma about the band based solely on what's not that song. That's that one's good.
With Arms Wide Open.
With Arms Wide Open.
Yeah.
In the music video, and he's on, you know, he's on stage. He's like holding a baby.
Oh, is he? Oh.
I think it was, I mean, it was his kid. It wasn't any it was? Baby.
Okay.
Which, like, was he have ear? Do they make baby earplugs?
Oh.
How would you bring a baby to a concert? I don't think he had big headphones on like they do now.
Oh.
And like there's that really funny video of some halftime show.
Oh yeah.
Or the Cowboys, because of course it was the Cowboys. Where there's like some guy doing like he's flying in and, you know.
Yeah.
There's a wind machine in front of us. Like if you know them only for that.
Right.
Definitely give this album a chance. Because I think even though I didn't love it, I think you would be surprised how, dare I say, hard they go.
Right. Oh, you know what? Speaking of Alice in Chains, the album cover. I know we don't always talk about album covers, but a guy like sepia tone just crouched in
Florida
the corner.
Florida man just hunched in the corner.
It just screams like, it kind of looks like the Alice in Chains self-titled album cover, which is a dog. I know it's a dog, but I don't know. I just get such grunge vibes. If you took off Creed, My Own Prison, if you took off the words and you showed that to a layperson, they'd be like, this is a grunge Soundgarden. I don't know. Alice in
Chains. Yeah. You'd be like, this is probably a grunge record from 93.
Yep. Exactly.
Or 91 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know that doesn't always dictate.
What's funny though, because like, you know, we talk about their, some of these influences, at least that we're picking up on, like your Alice in Chains, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And the album art is very grunge inspired. And then you look at some of those later ones and they're like the most early 2000s looking CGI render.
Somebody, if you're listening, go look at the weathered album art.
It's like, I always say this too, when you see things like that that don't hold up well as far as like
right.
the rendering.
Graphic design is my passion.
Yeah, there's, graphic design is definitely my passion. And also, I'll always say like, oh, look, it's cloud.png.
Yeah.
They just dragged it in and hit, okay, print it. We're done.
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah. Let's see. Was anything overplayed off of this one?
For me, no. I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, because we weren't getting, at least to my recollection, we weren't getting music videos shoved down our throats.
Right.
It was really just on the radio for me anyway. And the later stuff is where it got overplayed.
Yeah. You're
with arms wide open, etc.
Right. Yeah. Hard agree. Exactly.
Now, I never saw them live. Did you?
No. In my heart, I did, but sure. not in real life.
Yeah.
But, and they were here the other day.
They were here the other day. We didn't go.
I looked into tickets, if I'm being honest, but I didn't want to spend over $100.
It's not a great venue, and it's plus, far away.
Three doors down is opening.
That, yeah, that's
I can't,
a.
I there, cannot.
There's a lean.
There's a line.
Yeah. They're leaning a certain. Just.
But.
I can't.
Finger 11 was opening before okay. Three Doors Down, and I would have gone. I was like, should we just drive around the area and just open the windows and see if we can.
Unhinged behavior, but okay. Three Doors Down, though, that's interesting. That's a
overplayed. Oh,
well, yeah, what? Of course, but I would have to go back and look to see when they started. I have a feeling they're probably one of those bands that's like older than you think.
Right. But which came first? The Creed,
or the Doors.
Or the Doors.
Well, yeah. The Doors came first.
Well, okay. But the
three of the Doors. Okay.
Down. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But what else? Oh, is this their best album?
I think it has to be. I mean,
if we're going by metrics alone.
Yeah.
This has four hits as opposed to Human Clay had two hits and Weathered had two hits. And I don't know what came after that.
Right. Okay. Wow.
So that's stats for you.
Staps.
Wow.
Okay.
You just blew my mind.
But that's interesting, though. I didn't really think about it that way. But yeah, I mean, I think it has to be.
If we're keeping it purely objective and based on facts, this is their best album.
Right. And scientific facts are the.
Right.
Really the promise of this podcast.
Right. Peer-reviewed journals is what we're here to provide. We're here to give you the facts. So I'm not the biggest Creed fan. I always say this on every episode, but I just have to say this is my favorite. I like their, you know, What If and With Arms Wide Open and Higher and My Sacrifice. They're good.
Okay.
They were slightly overplayed because they got pretty big.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're doing, I don't know if it was a Super Bowl halftime show or like the
I think it was.
Thanksgiving halftime show.
Okay, I can't remember.
I don't really remember. Yeah. But if you're if you're at an upper echelon, if you are asked to, even if you're not their first choice, maybe they were, who knows? you're at a higher tier of band.
True.
I think at that point
yeah.
to play stuff like that.
Right. Going back to music videos, so we just watched them earlier because I could not remember ever seeing it.
Same.
And okay, let's talk My Own Prison.
Yeah. That was, I mean, they were all a little interesting. So the only thing that really struck me about that video.
Yeah.
Well, there's another part I'll let you talk about, but in the very beginning, Scott Stapp is staring down the barrel of the lens.
Right.
Singing the intro, and it kind of looks like he's gliding.
It does.
Okay. So that is what's referred to as a double dolly shot, which is in almost every, not the early ones, but everything since the late 80s, every Spike Lee movie features someone doing the double dolly shot, or sometimes two people, or sometimes it happens a couple times within the movie, and it's one of Spike's many amazing signatures. And I'm like, they're not doing the double dolly shot in a Creed video.
Listen, Creed is important, just as important as... No, I'm kidding.
We'll stop you there, but okay.
Yeah, that was an interesting video. I mean, I get it. Okay, so the whole song is about creating a self-imposed prison, I guess, based on your own sins or something. But so the video was good. I have to say, I was shocked to see the floating cube TV screen.
When you think about it, is it really that shocking?
Was that why they had a brawl?
Was it over the cubes?
With 311. I think it was. It had to have been. I would have been like, why did you steal our...
Why'd you steal our cubes our idea?
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Mind blowing.
Yeah, and it was like people in an office?
Yeah.
Their own suits, which was similar to a different 311 video we watched where all the people were in suits.
Oh,
maybe.
Right. But I...
Hey, who knows?
Yeah, that's also a type of prison. I think a lyric to...
Yeah, I mean, the second I saw... guys behind desks, I was like, yeah,
wow.
The office is my prison.
Yeah. I think one of the other songs on the album opens up with a lyric that's like, no, it doesn't open it up. It's like the second verse where he's like, oh, wait, hold on. I just have to look it up.
Okay.
Speak amongst yourself.
You know, as you mentioned, they did have four singles.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, the song One, didn't have a video. I guess it was probably the last single if I was looking in order. But and then Torn had a somewhat music video that is really just them playing live, which is fine, but it's actually what I thought was interesting about that one was that it's actually a live performance. It's not
it's also literally live.
Exactly.
Like Beautiful Disaster 311. Sorry if this is a touchy subject if you're listening, Creed. 311's Beautiful Disaster is just footage, and then they're playing the actual song.
Yeah, footage set to the track. This was like they recorded
live
like you would record a live album, but they made that the music video.
Okay, I found it. It's in America, the opening line is, "Only in America were slaves to be free."
Whoa.
Bro.
It was deep. It was deep for 97.
That was profound. This is why I connect with Creed.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But,
well, they also had the What's This Life For video, as we mentioned.
Oh, yeah. With the...
On the white beach. Or fake white. It's not a white beach.
With
white
the
sands.
Very shiny pants.
Yeah. I thought that one was weird.
Yeah. But it's like... I guess I'm an apologist because I'm like, I don't care what the video looks like, if he's wearing shiny pants or if it's weird, but it's just such a good song. I'm sorry. Sue me. You can send all lawsuits to...
Yeah, I think that's the one where I wonder if... Did that start where the naysayers of like, oh, this is... This message they have is very heavy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the video...
Okay.
There's tons of wind machines. But then it's cross-cutting to, I don't know, PSAs of like, you know, a guy's holding his elbow and he's in an alleyway. And it's like, what's this life for?
What is
it? And then a girl's on the street getting out of a car. What's this life for? And it's like, okay, well, all right.
I know.
And this is pre With Arms Wide Open, to be clear.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. I'm here for it. I'm just like...
Okay. It's your Creed.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe... well, I was probably too young. But maybe the grunge era was just a little too sad. And so it was like, oh, who, what are they doing? What are they?
Not sad enough. Give me that bleak. I want a bleak. Just everything. Start to finish.
Yeah. I guess we already talked about how it compared to their other work, which we don't know too well, but we know the hits.
Yeah. We know that. I mean, we definitely heard those first three records.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what they did after that, per se. And I'm not counting Ultra Bridge, but it's definitely the best out of the three.
Yeah.
In pure metrics, but also I think in the songs too.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I have to say is they have a song called Sister. It's probably a skip for me, but if you're listening, the Nixons have a song called Sister that came out in 95. Pause this, stop listening, and go listen to Sister by the Nixons from 95. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's and a then good come one. Back. All right. Love you.
Should we get into ratings?
Yeah, sure. Well, you go first. What would you give it?
Well, my first thought was, what's half of 97? Okay, so I'll round up to be generous. I'm gonna go with a 50, just because there's a lot of the skip songs, as we mentioned. I didn't love anything.
Yeah.
Other than a few guitar riffs. I like some of the songs.
Yeah.
Hearing it this time. I have not listened to the songs in full since back in the day. Then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go with the 50.
All right. That's fine. Hey, Scott. No, he gave it a 50.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Shout out to Scott.
Yeah. What if... that's a good song on Human Clay. Go listen. I guess I'd give it...
They have a song called Shout Out to Scott?
No, they have a song called What If.
Okay.
Where he just screams what if over and over again during the chorus. I would give it... probably like a... 78 or 80.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Not too bad.
You gave it a passing grade.
Freaking 50.
Hey, man.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Any other final thoughts?
No, I mean, I think this was interesting, you know. I think one of the reasons starting this was to explore stuff we know we really like, stuff we're not sure maybe we'll love it or hate it or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I mean. That's why I'm like, it's a tiny bit controversial because it's just not, it doesn't scream, you know, this is the quintessential, the best, you know, top in the top five of the year or the top five of the 90s. No,
right.
It isn't, but it's still good. I highly recommend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, with that. Thanks you for listening again. Make sure to follow us on social. We're at Greatest Music Pod on all your social platforms. So leave a comment. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. Tell us your favorite memories of the album. We'd love to hear from you. And give us a follow and a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Oh, now you can leave ratings on Pocket Casts, right?
Yes. Pocket Casts. My podcast player of choice.
Yes.
For it, probably a decade now. They just introduced ratings.
Yeah.
A little late, but
yeah,
I still love it.
That's okay.
I still love that app.
Give us a rating.
And stay tuned next week where we will be covering SCIENCE, sometimes called Science, by the band Incubus.
Nice.
See you next week.